Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Hey, believe it or not, it's already Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, the new blogs go up. So if you didn't swing by there yesterday, head on over and see what's going on over there. Of course, you never know when other odd content might just pop up, so you should pretty much check it out every day. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to follow that link over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page and give that a like while you're over there, please. Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Twitter feed, which is, oh, come on, you know this by now, at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right, you know, Dan and I were talking, you know, off the air, as we do before the podcast gets rolling, and I decided that the hottest story in sports right now is the fact that Vince McMahon is going to restart the XFL in 2020. You know, they're saying eight teams. I didn't hear where he was planning on locating them or anything like that. I'm sure that information will come out. You know, Dan, I was actually one of the few guys who watched the original XFL past, like, the first week, just because I kind of wanted to see what it was going to happen. What's your interest in the new XFL right now?
Well, I think he's doing it right this time and not having any WWE superstars involved with it. And then he's not to head it.
Yeah.
Well, no, but he's not going to be the head, so that means he's not going to have, you know, good old JR announcing. And well, I think Jesse the Body's a little too old, you know, and retired down in Mexico, so he probably won't be coming in for that. But I think it'll be taken a little bit more seriously this time around.
All right. Now, let me ask you this. Would your interest increase if it was announced in week one that the first televised game was going to have the team from Florida, and I don't know if there's going to be teams in these states, I'm just speculating, if the team from Florida, quarterbacked by Tim Tebow, was taking on the team from Texas, quarterbacked by Johnny Football, would that pique your interest enough to watch basically an off season football game? Cause you damn well know I'm turning that thing on.
Well, then it'll be on a Saturday, right? It'll be kind of easier to watch.
Yeah. I believe it was Saturday nights last time. I don't know if that's going to be the continual slot, but you know, because that was the first thing that popped into my head was, man, if you know, you get, you know, Tebow and Manziel and, you know, yeah, I know I saw the article. I know there's pictures of, like, T.O. and Chad Johnson in the article on, I think it was it MSN? I'm trying to remember where I was reading the article at. So, yeah, I mean, if you add some of these names, I mean, I think you could draw some interest, don't you?
Yeah, but you've got to wonder what they want for money, because I think he's going to cap it.
Yeah, well, you know, I wonder if it would be enough for, like, maybe each team to carry one star player. You know, because, you would think he's got to realize his biggest mistake with the last league is there really weren't any stars. You know, I mean, they had some good players. I know the Chicago team had a former NFL running back. I'm drawing a blank on his name. But, like, in the NFL, you know, he was just a third down guy. But, you know, he had a solid career, where in the XFL he was a full-time, you know, number one running back. So I'm hoping he kind of realizes that that was part of the mistake. You know, I mean, the USFL did so well because they were able to pay guys. And, you know, they landed the Herschel Walkers and the Jim Kellys and, you know, even Chris Carter started out there, the wide receiver. I mean, they were able to pay guys and steal them from the NFL. I don't know if, like you said, if it's going to be capped, I don't know if the XFL is going to be able to do that. You know, and I mean, Dan, I'm not interested in minor league football.
Well, you've got to imagine that, you know, with it not going to be starting for 2 years, as opposed to his company owning everything, maybe the teams will have individual owners this time.
That would be smart. You know, I know they did mention today, I heard Stephen A. Smith kind of whining and complaining, but I realized that that's just his thing. So I can never actually tell if he likes something, because it always sounds like he's whining and complaining. But apparently it's already been kind of released that there's a code of conduct, and apparently part of this code of conduct is you have to stand for the national anthem. So, you know, and I also believe there's something about no felonies. So it may be a little difficult to get some players, because obviously there's a whole bunch of them floating around. Luckily, there, you know, a lot of the guys just have misdemeanors, but there, you know, there are a few that have been tagged with felonies that are still out there. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he runs it. And, you know, I wonder, maybe it's just the fact that they couldn't get along, but, you know, Mark Cuban has had this idea for years to try to build a second football league. And I'm wondering why him and McMahon couldn't kind of get together and maybe work something out as a joint venture. Cause obviously it's two guys who are super rich, but then you're also talking about two gigantic egos. And I just don't know if they could run together working, you know, as a singular purpose. So maybe that's the issue there. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, when you bring Mark Cuban into it, he has, Vince McMahon doesn't run his mouth the way Mark Cuban does. You know, Vince McMahon came out and said it's not going to be a political, you know, it's about football. You know, where Mark Cuban will get on Twitter and blast Donald Trump and, you know, gets way too involved with it.
Yeah, well, you know, that's Mark Cuban. I'm assuming he's running for president here sometime soon, but that's just me. We'll have to see. But yeah, I don't know how many years it's been now that Cuban was allegedly trying to put this league together.
Well, I mean, if he was able to, he wouldn't be working on the Shark Show, would he?
He's not doing it by himself. He actually has some help here, you know, with it. It's not just Mark Cuban on his own. I think at one point they had like five other owners or seven other owners. They had a solid base, but it was going to turn out to be almost, you know, like a basically just an opportunity, a minor league football opportunity is what it was turning into. And, I don't know if there's a market. I mean, there obviously, I think there would be a market for a competing league, you know, if you could find something that could go similar. But yeah, I mean, if you're just going to run, you know, minor league football out there, I don't think it's going to work. So, but, you know, we'll have to see. They got a couple of years to plan it out, and, you know, we'll see what they give us as time goes along, right?
Yeah, but, you know, McMahon, he's not going to go small on it. He went huge with when he tried the bodybuilding thing. Obviously, yeah. You know, it's it's not as popular or anywhere near as popular as WWE wrestling or the NFL is. And I mean, I think with the original XFL, it was too much of a playoff to WWE, where I think that's, well, and I don't want to say that's why it failed, but I think the problem with that was the fact that they went in with NBC on it. And when you go in with the network like that, if things don't work out for a network and they don't have the numbers where they want them exactly, they're not going to continue to develop it. They're just going to do what they did, and that was drop it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the tough part is, I mean, it's got to hit, or else, yeah, it's going to be just, hey, thanks for coming, good luck. And I haven't heard if they're, if they're attached to a television network yet.
No, he said, well, that's the beauty of today is you don't have to be attached to a network. A lot of people.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of people keep bringing up the fact that the NFL ratings are down, yet oddly they're still rank, getting the highest ratings of all. A lot of people want to attach the protest to the NFL being down, which I don't buy that for 1 minute. I mean, for as many military, for as many old school military guys as you have that are going to boycott it, there's that many who still watch it. So, where my father-in-law, served, he didn't watch any of it all year, but then he would go watch the highlights later on. I'm like, it's a half-assed boycott, but, you're still supporting it. Where Uncle Bob, he served in the military also, but he's invested in the Chicago Bears. He's been a season ticket holder for the last 41 years. So you know damn well he watched every single game. And he'll be, sitting in front of his, I think it's almost 80-inch TV watching the Super Bowl next Sunday. Or, in 2 weeks. But, yeah, I know. We should, right? I think, from what I read from Vince McMahon's statements were, this, and this came out, it's just funny when you hear the WWE said this, and, knowing full well that Vince McMahon's involved, but, the WWE said they're having no involvement with this league and that it's, Alpha, whatever his other venture is. So, while he's going to be, quote, the head of it, so to speak, organizing it, he's not going to take the lead on it. And, it's not going to be a joint venture between the WWE and his, new company, his personal venture company. And then it's not going to be attached to a network, which, I think what that really helps with is he'll be able to broadcast anywhere. I mean, think about how we watch TV now. A lot of us are, we're streaming. We're streaming through Facebook, streaming through Twitter, which I caught a handful of games between both over the season, even Amazon Prime. Maybe you can even grab some Netflix. I don't know. And then Hulu has the thing, so everyone's streaming. Even YouTube has their own thing. So, the nice thing for him is he'll be able to broadcast these football games across all, all forms of internet media. And then he'll be able to use his sponsors where they won't have ties to the local network. So then he won't have issues, moving everything around. So I think if, you get 8 good owners, maybe even, 4 or 6, and the league owns a couple of teams so you can invest. I think this could, like you said, if you have a couple of big name stars, I think it could turn around. And I think they can make it go for it. The Big Three is coming back next year. So, with a couple of years of planning, and then you would expect by this time next year they would have their team all set and then their rosters picked out so these guys can start practicing, getting their stuff together.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of set up. I mean, I'm interested to see what he learned from the last venture, you know, and how things, you know, will be a little different. So that, you know, that'll be a plus. I mean, to think he's really not running it, I think might be a little far-fetched. You know, I mean, I think he wants people to think he's not running it, but, you know, I think you and I have watched enough wrestling to know he's really a huge egomaniac, so he's going to be involved. But hopefully he just the right people around him to make it successful. So, but I know you mentioned all the other options. You know, WWE's contracts are coming up with USA here real soon. And I didn't even think about it until you started throwing that out there. There have been some reports that CBS and Fox have actually offered to buy the company for him. I don't believe he can sell it now if he's going to start the XFL. That's his moneymaker. He needs to continue to make money. But they were talking about, you know, the other platforms like that, and I guess there's a chance that one of the shows, my guess would be SmackDown, will be taken to a streaming platform. So it would be really interesting to see how that worked out and, you know, if the, you know, the wrestling fans, how they would follow it. You know, that could be a big thing because, I mean, in reality, they're major shows. I mean, I know they're not on major networks, but they're still major shows. They do, you know, really solid ratings. And, you know, that's a lot of people to follow something, you know, to a streaming market. So that could be, he could be the first guy to kind of, you know, really take his show and say, hey, we're going here with it. So, you know, it's definitely something to follow. And, you know, it could put in place the XFL groundwork to where they're going to be on television or streaming.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and 15 years ago, yeah, it was an issue, but today, I mean, literally everyone has a cell phone with data and, you know, with the T-Mobiles and Sprint and, you know, all of them giving out unlimited plans left and right. I mean, you could be sitting anywhere and catching your SmackDown. I do think that if they sold Raw, you know, however they worked it out, and I do think if they went to one show nationally televised on television, and they got in with Fox, I think Fox would be more appropriate. But oddly, I follow CBS Sports on Facebook, and they post a lot of WWE stuff, a lot more than I would expect. And I think if you move Raw to you know, Fox or CBS, they would do really big. I mean, you know, growing up, I grew up with WWF on, was it Channel 5?
Was it? I don't even remember.
I don't remember. But you were older back then. You wouldn't remember.
Yeah, you know, I don't remember where the you know, it's bounced. You know, well, actually, Raw has been pretty good about being consistent. SmackDown is the show that's really bounced around. So.
Yeah. Well, no, that's what I mean. I mean, if you move it to Monday night, I mean, the issue. Well, not even the issue because Fox and CBS don't, you know, have old football rights for Monday Night Football. And then neither one do baseball games on Monday night. So they can have a genuine, you know, ratings draw and advertising money. Like, you know, like they wouldn't, you know, like they've never had before because it consistently is on. And then, I mean, let's be honest, yeah, you and I gave up on it. I know you tune in once in a while. I don't even, you know, tune in at all anymore. But there's a lot of guys, you know, my age to your age, that's, you know, the demographic you're looking for to spend that money that are, you know, religiously watching it every week.
Yeah, you know, now they all got kids, you know, if they're your age or if they're my age, some of them have grandkids that are being introduced to it. And, you know, it's there. So it's quite... You know, it'll be interesting to see how they, you know, how they handle it or how they move it or then, you know, where the XFL ends up, you know, because there's, you know, there's so many options now on where to do that. But we'll have to keep track of that. We got 2 years to keep up with it.
Yeah, well, and, you know, just to top it off, the other thing you asked me what was exciting about it was McMahon wants to make sure it's only 2 hours long.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
you know,
I
the
think that's,
network,
I think that's huge.
that's where I think that's where all the television networks got excited about it. You know, streaming, it's a little easier to kind of configure your time. But you know, the minute
yeah.
he said 2 hours, every network executive stepped up and said, wait, should we be interested in this? So, you know. But all right, Dan, I need you to admit something right here on air while we're doing this. I read that they actually confirmed that it was a group. They didn't say how many people were in the group, but they put down a multi-million dollar wager on the Philadelphia Eagles over the New England Patriots. Or were you, are you involved in this group, and how much did you kick in?
$5. No, I wish I were. You only get what you put into it, right? Or your percentage, but I.
Yeah, I don't, you know, obviously they've got to work that out. I don't know if they all took out an equal share or how they did this, but you know, this was confirmed by MGM vice president of what they call race and sports. That's horse racing kind of stuff like that, not actual color of people's skin. So relax there. His name is Jay Rude. He wouldn't disclose the exact amount of bet or how many people were in it, but apparently it's the largest reported bet in Nevada in recent history. So,
I mean, was that the only reason it was done?
I would guess, I don't know, I would guess so, but, you know, I mean, it looks like they got, you know, they got the Eagles in 5.5 points. So I guess we'll see. With their bet, though, it actually dropped the line to 4.5 because of all the money that came in on the Eagles side. So we'll have to see how that kind of works out for them. But yeah, just a.
I hope they lose.
You know, a gigantic wager there. So he also did mention, and this is kind of interesting, that last weekend they brought in a record number of just six-figure wagers on the game. So for whatever reason, this seems to be a really big, big money Super Bowl. And I don't know why. Did you have a reason for it?
No, I mean, no, I don't know. I guess it's exciting for the Eagles to be in it. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, maybe because, yeah, it's their first time in how long that we're interested in it. So.
Well, then I think after the way they played on Sunday, everyone thinks that they're just going to come in and just dominate and stomp out the Patriots' reign, which, you know, the Eagles can come out off the gate and score, you know, 21 points. And be up, you know, 28-7 at the half. But, you know, regardless of the fact that I picked the Patriots, even if I didn't pick the Patriots, which, you know, technically in your pick for the year, you went against the Patriots. But I know both of us will be sitting there going, this game ain't over.
Yeah. Well, you know, we thought last year the game was over when they were down 28 points. And, you know, I think we both learned our lesson there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I even tweeted out last week after Deion Lewis fumbled about how that should end the Patriots season, and they still came back. So, you know, but I did want to kind of wonder what, you know, what your reaction to this was. You know, as we know, you know, there's no real better way to describe it, but we know there's a section of Philadelphia fans are just gigantic turds. You know, there's no other way around it. They're just, you know, I think at this point they just want to be jerks and they want to make sure they continue to be jerks. Now, you know, they were really on high alert last week while they were beating the Vikings. And, you know, I know they, there was that goofy group who made sure they insulted Minnesota's, what was she, like, our 100-year-old fan or something. You know, I went, was it Millie, I think her name was, you know, they made sure they had like, you know, an F Millie sign and all this other stuff. And, you know, they really went out of their way to lay it on and, you know, be world-class a-holes. Now, interestingly, Dan, they have to turn around now and go to Minnesota for the Super Bowl. Does, you know, how do you think this is gonna work with them?
Well, Minnesota is the nicest town in the country, so you know, Ellie, I think a lot of the people that did what they did and acted the way they did. I mean, I saw a video afterwards about you know where they were just trashed, going nuts. Personally, I don't believe that all those people that represent Philly that way will be able to afford to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, do you think, you know, as the players are around the town and stuff, because, you know, they're going to have to be there basically for, what, a week or whenever they bring them in with the press conferences and stuff, do you think there's going to be a negative towards the players about it and, you know, we're going to get the, you know, odd whatever, the pulling of the fire alarms at hotels and stuff like that, or just the universal... You know, is the universe patriot hatred enough to offset that? Because, you know, these are two, you know, well, the Patriots are, you know, just disliked nationwide. And, you know, the Eagles didn't do themselves any favors. So, you know, who's the most hated team here? Which one?
Well, I think in Minnesota, it's going to be the Eagles. Seriously, fucking bitch. Oh, was that online?
Yes, that was. That was quite humorous. So, you know. But interestingly, Dan, bringing us back to our original point, there is already an article on Yahoo titled "Johnny Manziel wants to play in the XFL, but there's a catch."
What's the catch?
I'm looking for that here to see as they move along here. Let's see what they happen to say. It said McMahon made it clear that players with criminal records wouldn't be allowed in the league. So.
Oh, I didn't realize he had a criminal record.
Yeah, he was not from the incident with his girlfriend, but in 2012, while he was at Texas A&M, he was in a fight, and he was charged with a misdemeanor that he pleaded guilty to. So, technically, he has a criminal record.
Huh.
Now, to be fair, though, being that it's a misdemeanor, by the time 2020 rolls around, that'll be 7 years. It should be off his record, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, technically he can, depending on how it went, he can get that expunged or, you know, even sealed prior to the XFL beginning.
Yeah, that would be. I just thought it was humorous that we were talking about that, and already there's an article about, you know, about him wanting to play. And just so you know, Dan, the tweet was copied and pasted into the article. So, but this guy did actually write an actual article around it. So it wasn't like the one you had pointed out to me there earlier. So.
Oh, you mean the Christian Yelich signing?
Yes.
Hopefully, according to MLB trade rumors, at 5:55, I'm assuming that's Eastern time because I read that earlier. But, you know, it's the deal is official. Now, what Big Jack's referring to is an article I sent him or by a BBWWA writer, so this guy had a vote, works for CBS, and he basically headlined with, you know, Christian Yelich to the Brewers, copy and pasted Ken Rosenthal's tweet from The Athletic, or Ken Rosenthal from The Athletic's tweet that said Christian Yelich to the Brewers. And then gave us a nice little stat line, and that was about it. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There you go, boys and girls. You want to get into journalism, all you got to do is get really good at your copy and pasting of other people's tweets. And technically, you cited it right there with that. And now you can get a job. You can get a, you know, get in with the BBWA or BBWWA. But either way, I was looking at it a little bit. You mentioned there was four prospects being sent from Milwaukee to the Marlins. Do you still have that in front of you? I don't.
Yeah, I do. The Marlins will receive Lewis Brinson, Monty Harrison. I'm guessing this is Isan Diaz and Jordan Yamamoto. So that's their return there. Now, you know, Brinson, some people may remember, had a cup of coffee with the Brewers last year, played in 21 games. It did hit a couple homers, but hit just 106. And he's another one, you know, like a lot of guys in today's game, he's a big strikeout guy. He had 17 strikeouts in his short stint with Milwaukee. He played really well. He spent time 76 games in AAA, where he did hit .331 with 13 homers and 11 stolen bases. His strikeout numbers were a little better there. He only struck out 62 times. He's always been looked at as a top prospect. So I'm guessing he's the centerpiece of the deal here. Let me kind of bounce through these other stat cards and we can see who these other guys are. Monty Harris is a 22-year-old outfielder. Looks like he spent last year split between Class A and High Class A, where he played 122 games. He hit .272 with 21 homers and 67 RBIs, but Dan, in 122 games, he struck out 139 times. So he is a new style classic power hitter. Let's see what Diaz is here. Diaz looks like a middle infielder. He's 21 years old. He played last season at High Class A, 110 games, where he hit .222 with 13 homers and 54 RBIs. Another big time strikeout guy, 121 strikeouts in those 110 games. So you can see how baseball is going. Even in the lower levels, guys strike out a ton. And the last one, Jordan Yamamoto, is an 18-year-old pitcher. Oh, excuse me, 21. Read the wrong age there. 21-year-old who spent last season in High Class A, where he made 18 starts, appeared in 22 games total. He was 9-4 with a .251 ERA. Actually had two complete games. That's quite an anomaly. One of them was a shutout, and he also picked up a save. So a very unique year there for Yamamoto, as he definitely filled up the categories. It looks like, you know, Brinson is a major league ready guy, especially now with Yelich going the other way. He'll probably take his spot. And then the other, you know, Harrison's looks like a big-time power hitter who's going to strike out 200 times at the major league level. And, Yamamoto, he looks like maybe he's a guy who can develop. So we'll have to see if these are guys they can rebuild around, you know, as the Marlins kind of devalue their franchise after Derek Jeter took over. I mean, you like what you heard about those guys?
Yeah. More money off the books for him, right?
Yeah. You know, and I mean, you know, this is one of those deals, you know, again, we never know, but it looks like they did okay. You know, I mean, I know Brinson, again, is one of those guys I've heard talked about for probably 2 or maybe even 3 years now. You know, he should get a chance to play every day, so we should know about him right away. unless it's one of those goofy things, you know, the Marlins want to keep him down till whatever, if they can extend his arbitration, you know, but yeah, the other guys, you know, they're still kind of in the developmental stage, but you know, this is a great ad for the Brewers. I mean, you know, it really is. Yelich is a quality player, and you know, I really wanted to see the Cubs reach out and go get him so he could be their everyday center fielder, but you know, maybe they're actually going to play Al Mora, or Ben Zobrist is going to play right field every day, and Jason Hayward will play center. Because we want to see that. That's exactly
what you already. You already know why they're not going after anybody in the outfield. They're waiting until next year.
Yes, right? They got to bring Bryce Harper in.
When you come over for a Super Bowl, I'm going to knock you out and inject that Cubs Kool-Aid into you. Oh, now you're just gonna, you know, start hanging, you know, wearing Theo Epstein shirts.
I would if I had one. Do they make Theo Epstein shirts?
No, I'm surprised they don't. I couldn't think of anything better, but you know, yeah, you're gonna start mainlining the Cubs Kool-Aid, and the Cubs are gonna get Bryce Harper. They're gonna have the most expensive outfield in all of baseball.
Yeah. Well, you know, they could have still got Yelich and then just traded Schwarber to plug Harper in. And, you know, if they get Harper, where does he play? You know, Jason Hayward plays right field. So, you know, we've got all that fun stuff to deal with. But, you know, that was the big baseball activity today. As you know, we're still waiting and attempting and trying to figure out for all these guys to find new homes and landing spots, but it is apparently being reported that Lorenzo Cain has what's described as multiple four-year offers. Now, of course, like they like to do, and you always got to wonder if maybe his agent just beat this, no teams are attached to this. You know, the Brewers were apparently one of the teams interested in Cain. Now that they have Yelich, you got to figure that's out. The Giants were also interested, but as you know, they've added Andrew McCutchen and they signed Austin Jackson. I could see Cain being their starting center fielder with Jackson being a fourth outfielder, except for the fact that, you know, Cain is a really good defender and so is McCutchen. And if Hunter Pence moves to left field, he'll be one of the better defending left fielders. So there wouldn't really be a need for that plug-in fourth defensive outfielder. You know, there was some talk again that the Blue Jays were possibly involved in this, but you know, they brought in Curtis Granderson. You know, they have Kevin Pillar. It does look like they possibly have one opening left, but you know, they've got a lot of bodies kind of looking at that way. You know, the Rangers have been mentioned, but what I'm realizing now is the Rangers are mentioned on every damn free agent out there, and none of them really end up kind of going there, and they have quite a crowded outfield anyways. I heard someone mention the Mets, but we know that's not going to happen because they just brought in Jay Bruce, so I don't know where he's getting these offers from, but I hope one of them is viable and he can sign a contract, because I've always liked Lorenzo Cain. If you remember, two seasons ago I cursed him by picking him to win the American League MVP and he went out and got hurt. So, you know, so that's, you know, that's a frightening scenario for any player when I pick you for, you know, MVP. But you know, he bounced back nicely. You know, he hit 300 last year with 15 homers, stole 26 bases. So, you know, I mean, and obviously that's playing in Kansas City in the right ballpark. He's a, you know, a 20 homer, 30 steal guy. You know, it's just finding a fit. I know there still are some reports that the Brewers would possibly move like a Domingo Santana to make room for Cain. But I don't know if that's something we would see. I mean, you know, Santana looked like he was going to be a breakout guy, and that would be adding a lot of payroll for a team like Milwaukee. That's not something they're kind of akin to doing. So, you know, I don't think I buy that one. You know, we'll have to kind of wait and see. But, you know, you have to wonder what's next for the Marlins. You know, Yelich was one of the guys who said he wanted out. JT Realmuto was also one of those guys. He wants out of Miami, and Starlin Castro has voiced his displeasure with being traded there. So we'll have to see as the Marlins devastation continues, who's the next guy out the door? You know, I mean, they, you know, Realmuto is obviously an interesting catching prospect. And you know, they're always all, you know, always teams looking for young catchers. It's difficult to find them. So, you know, there could be some attraction there with the right team. You know, it depends how things kind of play out and how it goes, but you know, I would think he could possibly be next, you know, or I guess I could see Castro going. You know, he has a real team-friendly contract. You know, they do have some marginal pitchers that, you know, we might see get shipped off. You know, I won't be surprised if Dan Straley gets moved. If not now, then, you know, probably right around the trade deadline to a team looking for like a fifth starter. I think they're stuck with Dan's guy, Wei Ying Chin, because that's a big time contract. So,
Well,
you know, it's going to be difficult to get rid of him.
not unless he posts like, you know, 13-3 by the All-Star break.
Yeah, if he comes out rolling and actually pitches well, they're definitely gonna be some interest in him probably. So that could be you know, that could be fun to see how you know, how that works out. But I don't know if he'll be 13 and I don't know if he'll pick up 13 wins with the Marlins. He may not get that all year.
Well, you know, wins and I guess we're old, so wins and losses don't really matter. If he has like a, you know, a 1.1 whip and a, you know, 600 WAR, but you know, and even a sub 4 ERA would definitely work for an American League team. And if he's a sub 3 ERA, depending on a National League contender, he might work well because I believe this is the third year of his 5 6 year deal, right? Or is this the
Yeah,
second?
it's his third.
To third. So, I mean, you know, if you're, but I think it all depends on his health too. So if he stays healthy, maybe they can move him by All-Star break or All-Star break by, you know, trade deadline or the final deadline. But if not, I think after next season, they might be able to move him pretty easily. And, you know, and I'm
Yeah,
with you. I
if he
hope
definitely.
Starlin gets moved.
Yeah, if he comes out and pitches well, you know, up to the trade deadline, they'll be takers there. So, you know, it's definite. But I wanted to ask you, Dan, if you came across this article, there was a Scott Boras article, and he is blaming the slow-moving free agent pool on what he describes as non-competitive cancer. And he goes on here, he says, we have to get rid of the non-competitive cancer. We can't go to our fan bases and sell the promise of losing to win later. That is destructive to our sport because it has removed one-third of the competition. Dan, how do you think the Astro fans feel about that right now, having just won a World Series after being non-competitive cancer for 3 or 4 years?
Not to mention the Cubs. Granted, theirs was 3 years, 4 years, but
You know,
you know, he's
how do
just
you think
doing
those
whatever he
teams?
can. Yeah, well, I
Right.
don't know. I'm sure the fans are upset. You know, kind of. I think a lot of people just blow off. But I think he had to come out and make a statement, seeing as the commissioner pretty much blamed the slow-moving offseason on him. Which I mean, at the end of the day, if you're a follower of the game, you know, if you're more than just a casual fan and you follow the game and not just your team, you know who the hell Scott Boras is, and you know that the reason it is the way it is because of him. I think everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, as much as, you know, you want to, you know, point fingers at the owners and say, you know, they're doing this. You know, this is really all on him.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
I like Jake Arrieta.
He has led baseball down this path.
Yeah, I like Jake Arrieta, but I don't like Jake Arrieta for $20 million a year for 7 years.
Right. And just so you know, Dan, let's see, it would have to be what was that figure there? It was he wants $200 million. So for 7 years it would have to be 23 or 24 to get him to his $200 million figure.
Wow.
So you know, that would be a very large commitment from a team there. I want to double check my math. Actually, Dan, I was way off. It would be $28.6 million a season for 7 years to sign Jake Arrieta. It would actually be a $200 million. $200,000 deal with those figures. Can you blame a team for not wanting to pay Jake Arrieta $28+ million a year?
No, I mean, think of the trap. Think of, you know, inflation's a bitch, as they say, and all that. Everything's going to continue to rise, and you know, if MLB goes the way of the way NBA's commissioner goes with wanting 1% of all bets coming to the NBA and their teams or whatever. Even with that, you know, just think about the dilemma the Yankees were in with the A-Rod deal.
Yeah.
You know, and that didn't even last. Well, I guess it was like 6-7 years. But, you know, they ended up having to just throw away $20+ million and pay him to leave. And, you know, one thing I learned from the wrestling business was it wasn't about what did you do for me. It's what are you doing for me now?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't need a bunch of numbers. I don't need, you know, inflated statistics or a 75-page binder. But, you know, not being in the front office of any team to know that Jake Arrieta is not worth $200 million for 7 years, 5 years, 4 years. You know, go the going rate at roughly 21, $22 million for the next 3 years. You know, if it blows up on the last year, at least you're not stuck with it for another 5 years or 4 years after that. I just don't see it, you know. He had one great year. And if you watch him, he peaked. I think he's going to remain consistent for a couple years. But, you know, I forget how old he is. He's not going to last 7 years the way he did.
Well, he'll turn 32 in March, to answer your question.
Yeah. There's no way he's going to be pitching at the level he was last year at 38 years old. Yeah, he made the cover of ESPN, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he made that cover and he did his naked posing and tells you about all his yoga and his workouts and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, how come he didn't throw 2 no-hitters last year? Forget a no-hitter. How come you can't go past the fifth inning?
Yeah. That would be my biggest concern is the fact that he made 30 starts last year and only pitched 168 in a third innings. Now, you and I both know some of that is Joe Maddon. But also, you have to put yourself in a position to continue to be successful. You know what I mean? Yeah, the innings have progressively dropped. You know, the year that everybody is going to remember, you know, 2015, he went 229 innings. 2016, he went 197 and a third. So, you know, that dropped, you know, almost, you know, a little over 30 innings. Then there was another 30 inning drop, technically 29, I know. You know, are we in for another inning drop this year that you're going to pay a guy $28-plus million for?
For 150 innings? For, wait, what would you say, 138
yeah, you know,
would be the 30?
It would be, yeah, it would be 138. So, you know, it would be nice to give 140. You know, if I'm paying that guy that kind of money, I want a horse. I want a Max Scherzer. I want a Clayton Kershaw. I want a Chris Sale. You know, even a Justin Verlander when he's on. That's the kind of guy I want for that kind of money. And with the exception of one season, Jake Arrieta hasn't proven to me that he's that guy. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, you got to remember, this was a guy who was a bust with the Orioles. So,
yeah. Well, that's,
you know, what are you getting?
Well, and that's the other thing. He proved that when he was with the Orioles, he left the O's, came to Chicago, and did what? He blamed his lack of success on, I don't remember if it was the pitching coach or Buck Showalter. But I know he blamed them.
I think it was just the, I think it was the team entirely. So,
so what happens? You get 7 years, 28 million. Two seasons are, you know, going to be pretty solid. Unless he's on a contending team, they're not going to win a World Series. He's definitely, you know, not going to be your number one. And if he is your number one, you're not going to the World Series with that. So then, for the next 5 years, who's he going to blame? When you're on the team, you can't blame the team.
Yeah. Well, you can. You could do your Miguel Montero. I don't know if they could deal a guy like Arrieta, but you know, even again, you know, again, that fantastic year, he had that ERA at 1.77. You know, it jumped to a very respectable 3.10. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a really good ERA. But last year, you know, it took another jump, and even at 3.53, it was still a solid ERA. But he somehow managed to lose 10 games with an ERA that was pretty good. And, you know, okay, maybe you tag some of it with the bullpen. They came in and gave up some runs or how it worked out. But, I mean, just as you go across the board, you know, the ERA is up, starts are down, innings are down, strikeouts are down. And, you know, walks, they jumped after the great year. They really jumped in 2016, but they came back down last year. Oddly, do you know he's led the National League in wild pitches the last two seasons? So, he hit 10 guys last year. Yeah, he hit 10 guys last year on top of that. So, I'm not sure, you know, like I would have no problem with a team signing him. But my question is, I don't know if I'm getting a top-of-the-rotation starter. I mean, I would be afraid if I'm going to give him, again, you know, $28 million a season, I need a surefire number one, take the ball every 5 days, 33, 34 start kind of guy. And I don't know if that's Jake Arrieta. I would be afraid I would give him that money. And I would hinder my rotation because I've got a number three starter making $28-plus million a year. So,
yeah, where you have on the Cubs, you know, you have the professor, because I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
You know, he got $4 million and he just proclaimed it was life changing and. You know, and he would be more deserving of the $28 million.
You know, like you said, I mean, I get it. Boris is just trying to, you know, do his
defend
job.
Himself.
This is, you know, this is what he does. Yeah, you know, I mean, but I just wonder if secretly or behind the scenes, or if you could really get him to admit it that. you know, he himself would say that these guys just aren't worth it. You know, and I know Alex Cobb isn't his client, but you can't tell me Alex Cobb is worth $20 million a year. I can't buy that. So.
Well, even national media type stuff, all we heard last year was Chris Archer. Chris Archer this, Chris Archer that. When did you ever hear anything about Alex Cobb? You didn't hear anything about Alex Cobb until this offseason.
Yeah, and by the way, his free agency. I mean, he wasn't even a trade ship last year.
No, no.
So,
which my little stupid plug for Lids, they have their clearance going on. It wasn't as good as the last one, but I did get my Tampa Bay Rays hat finally after 4 years. And I always meant to get one years ago when I got my Will Myers T-shirt, but at least I got it now, right?
Yeah, hey, you know, just how many years too late? Six?
Hey, I still wear the shirt, though. So now I got the hat to match.
So there you go. But, yeah, you know, it's just, I don't get, you know, what the heck is going on, or, you know, what they're thinking. And, you know, I get it. They want to, you know, they want to make, you know, great money and all that fun stuff and, you know, that stuff. But I just, you gotta rein in your demands at some point in time, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and, you know, I think we touched on this a little bit before. Well, you just brought up the fact that deep down and, you know, way back in the back of his head, Scott Boras' head, he has to know that Arrieta is really not worth that much to begin with. You know, he's obviously got to fill his pockets and pay all the agents that work for him and, you know, his whole deal. So his, you know, livelihood of, I'm sure, expensive houses and, you know, limousine rides and, you know, the old Ric Flair thing. You know, he has to keep sustaining that. But on the other side of it, you know, we brought up before, why has Scott Boras taken so much interest in Jake Arrieta? I've never seen him come up to bat for a player like he has him. And it didn't start, you know, this offseason. This is something that's been going on since, you know, throughout the season last year, which I've never seen him really start campaigning for one of his guys that early on. And not only campaigning, but sitting there trying to tell you and trying to prove to you why he's worth that. Sitting in the press, and not the press, the scout seats, talking with the media and scouts, telling, you know, trying to get you to buy into what he thinks he's worth. So, you know, I kind of lean with you when you say maybe he's got to know that he's not worth what they threw out there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he got on the Jake Arrieta campaign trail really early.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to wonder. All right, well, Dan and I to go. But, hey, we'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. How about that? You know the deal while we're gone, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget about the Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter, too, if you want to help hunt us down. Excuse me, we don't have a problem with that. As always, a big thanks for listening to us live. But don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com.
Roll out.